How are you going to stand against the flood of sin and the flood of Satan's temptations? The flood when guilt comes attacking you, accusing you of being out of step with God. How are you going to answer? And that's why we need to build our life on that very foundation, that solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now I move to the other type of flood that we mentioned here, and that is the Lord will save us through the floods of death. Death is, of course, every man's test. It's going to be the great test of who we are and what we are and what we stand for.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're on the air to bring you the message of the gospel today, and we're thankful for the Word of God, for the gospel, for the way of salvation through the finished work of the cross. And just after Easter, I must say my heart is filled and thrilled with the glorious message that Christ is a wonderful Savior. And we can say, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. And I hope that as you join us here and Let the Bible Speak, that you will be filled with that wonder and joy in knowing and serving the Lord Jesus. And though the world may be crashing around us, as the Psalm 46 tells us, that even though the mountains be cast into the sea, God is with us. And we take refuge in those things that are sure. Even though the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, we stand firm on the rock Christ Jesus. And today we're turning to this parable of the man who built upon the rock versus the one who built upon the sand. And I want to read this passage again. It's the clincher. It's the final capstone of the whole Sermon of the Mount that our Lord Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And at the close of the sermon, this is his appeal. The sermon of the man who built upon the sand, and when the storms came, it was useless. And how many in this world today are building lives of sand with their materialism, their riches, their pomp, ceremony, their worldly friendships. But when the storm comes, what will they have? What will they stand upon? When cancer strikes, when bereavement, sorrow, when they stand at the graveside, or when they themselves, or maybe you yourself, are laid down into the earth. What's your foundation? Eternally. Let me read to you what the Lord Jesus said here in Matthew 7. He said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Stay tuned with us as we go to the message.
The Bible warns us, beware when all men speak well of you. And these are great floods. They're great floods. There's many people that have been swept away because of the criticism of the world. And you and I are in danger of being swept away by this flood against our hearts and our confidence in Christ. And we've got to take to heart the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." And of course, the Lord Jesus, he was not deterred by criticism. He went straight to the cross. He made a beeline for the cross, and he showed that he was an overcomer of this old world. And so these are the floods of life. How are you going to stand? The floods of sin's mighty power, Satan's temptations. How are you going to stand? Is there someone here tonight and you're building your life on a foundation of sand? And you know what sand does when the flood comes? Well, the sand is loose and it's light and it just shifts and moves and it turns pliable in the water and it just has no substance or strength to it. And when the weight pries down on one side, it allows the whole building to just sink down. And then when it's shaken another direction, and before long, the whole building is destroyed because they're building on sand. Now, you may be all right tonight, but how are you going to do in the floods? How are you going to stand against the flood of sin and the flood of Satan's temptations? The flood when guilt comes attacking you, accusing you of being out of step with God. How are you going to answer? And that's why we need to build our life on that very foundation, that solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, I move to the other type of flood that we mentioned here, and that is the Lord will save us through the floods of death. Death is, of course, every man's test. It's going to be the great test of who we are and what we are and what we stand for. Death has to be the test of every man's religion and every man's gospel. And death is a flood because it's beyond our control. It's not something that we're in charge of. There is the question, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, that reference in the book of Jeremiah has to do with the day of death. And it's described as a flood, the swelling of the river when the banks overflow and things are out of control. And right now, when you have your health and you have security and things are going well for you, you might say, I'm in control. You might say tonight, I'm in control, but there's going to come a day when you'll have to lay down your life and you will be staring out into eternity and you will be, the clock will be ticking and your life will be gone. Maybe the doctor will have to say to you, look, you've just got days to live, maybe hours to live. We've had many reports recently of sudden death. I think that Calvin reminded you of the passing of Daniel Petka. Daniel grew up in our Prince George Church with his family, came to many of our Bible camps where we met him, got to know him. And then just recently, he and his aunt were driving to visit a grandmother and instantly killed, life taken so quickly. And death is like a flood because we don't have control. We can't be in charge of things in that hour. Reverend McClellan told us about that 40-year-old man who was diagnosed with leukemia. And a week before he died, the doctor said to his family, you've got to bring him into the center because his life's just going to go like that. And that's how it was. He did not have pain and problems as we would think of a dying person. In many ways, he felt reasonably well. But the doctor said, this type of leukemia, you're just going to go like that. And they could read from his blood cell count that they brought him into the palliative care facility. And that's exactly how it happened. So quickly. Last Sunday morning, a week ago today, his funeral is now over. He has met with death. Isn't it a great thing to know that he was building on the solid rock that is Christ? Isn't it a great thing to know that he had a sure foundation that is with him in the trial of death? For the unsaved person, death is very dark. It's very dismal because you're destined for hell. The Bible teaches that very clearly. The person who's building on sand, and that's the person who rejects the gospel, who has said, I don't want to be a Christian yet. I don't want to be a Christian today. You're building your life on sand. And when the flood of death comes, it's going to carry you out into a terrible destruction. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 opened his eyes in torments. One day, faring sumptuously, living like a king, and then in eternity, in torments, he had met with the flood of death. Men have been called from this world without a moment to prepare. Do not think that you're going to be given X amount of time to prepare for salvation and then begin to build on the rock Christ Jesus. But I do have good news for you tonight. The Lord Jesus is the rock. And if you build your life on Him, you can say with the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Now that's the good news of the gospel. And that's where this gospel really makes its impact. It contrasts the man who builds on sand. When death comes, he's finished. He's in torment. But for the Christian who's building on Christ, it is to be with Christ, which is far better. Now, that can only be said for the Christian because our Lord Jesus defeated death. And we know that He came into this world and He lived a sinless life and He went to the cross, and there on that cross He laid down His life. We read there in 2 Corinthians that God made Him to be sin for us. God made Him to be a curse in our place. Why? That He might defeat death. That was the purpose of Calvary and the purpose of the cross. And when we go to 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, it tells us that there, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, He giveth us the victory. And if you're building your life on the Lord Jesus, you're building on the rock. You're safe, no matter what the flood is, even the flood of death. Now, there's another flood we've mentioned already, and that's the flood of the judgment day. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the Bema seat, where our Lord Jesus will sit as the judge of all the earth. The Bible very clearly describes that day for us. And I believe that that day is going to coincide. It's going to be the same great event as the day when the trumpet sounds, the Lord returns in the glory with His saints. That's those that have died and gone already in their spirit form. They will return. The graves will be opened, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And there will be this reuniting of bodies and the spirits of just men made perfect. And then there's going to be the descending of the Lord with His saints to the earth. What are they coming to do? Coming to rule. And then begins the great assize, the Bema judgment seat. And the Bible tells us very clearly that our Lord Jesus has been made to be the judge of all the world. Turn with me to John chapter 5 and verse 22. You read there of this. John 5 and verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Right on down these verses. Let's go to verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now some people put 1,000 years between those two things, the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the wicked. I don't see that in the Bible personally. I believe that this will happen in the same event. And I do not see a lengthy period of time in between when men will hear the voice of the Son of God and the graves will open and those very souls will arise. The Lord tells us about the sheep and the goats. They seem to be together on the same event. Now, as you stand before that judgment and you are called upon to give account for every idle word, every deed done in the body. And don't tell me that the Lord will never have that kind of information at his fingertips. When you realize what Google is doing with every little slice of information today that can be stored and retrieved in a split second, you just Google your own name sometime, and it might scare you what is in some data bank somewhere. Don't tell me that God cannot retrieve the very words and deeds of your life, the omniscient God who is all-knowing, and then you will give account. Now, for the Christian, the judgment seat, Christ will speak for his sins. Romans 8:29 says, or 33 says, who shall lay any charge to God's elect? Christ will speak up and he will say, I've justified this man. This person has built upon my life, my blood, my cross, my redemption. This person has built upon the rock, and that person will be declared righteous before God. Now let's realize every one of us are sinners. We've all broken the law of God. We're all guilty in ourselves. And if we do not have a Savior to speak up, and our Lord is going to be the judge on that day, and he's going to pronounce the verdict. And if you do not have faith in him, if you do not have your trust in him, if you do not have given your life to him to build on his work as your foundation, then you will be declared wicked, guilty, and you will be declared as one of the goats to be separated from the sheep. And then you will hear eventually those words, depart from me, ye cursed. I never knew you. And the Lord Jesus says, that day you'll be a fool. That's when you'll be a fool. You've built your life on sand. And for a while in this world, it was impressive to some friends or others. For a while in this world, it was the easy way out. For a while in this world, it seemed to be normal. But it didn't prepare for the flood. And the Lord Jesus is warning us. He's warning us. And in this Sermon on the Mount, he did warn. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done works in thy name? And the Lord will say, I never knew you. You built your life on sand, not on the solid rock of the gospel. I wonder tonight, can you say that I have been wise? I have chosen the Lord because I know there are floods coming that I can't control. There's the flood of sin. There's the flood of guilt. There's the flood of Satan's attacks. There's the flood of death and judgment. They're beyond my control. I need a Savior. I need one to step in my behalf and to speak for me and to save me on that day. One last thought, and that is that the Lord will save you from the floods of eternal life. Now, I call eternal life a flood because, again, it is totally out of man's control. When we lay down our lives and these bodies of ours are laid in the grave, when the trumpet sounds and we stand before the judgment day, all of those things are totally out of our control. We won't be able to manage one part of that. And no human power can change the destiny of man. When you think of the pharaohs with their pyramids, when they buried their kings, their pharaohs, with food, with animals, with servants and slaves, with the idea that this would change their eternity. It's all crazy. And they thought that they could go to another world with and still be in control. It's crazy. You see, you need a Savior to give you eternal life because you're totally out of control in that. And the soul which is created by God is always in God's control. God controls your soul. And if you rebel, and if you harden your heart, and if you resist, and if you go the other direction, the Bible says you're a fool because the Lord offers to you eternal life, heaven. And he says to his people, to those that build upon the rock, he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself. Now, it's not coming again to receive. That's where we need a Savior for the flood day of eternity. Can you say tonight that you're trusting in this promise where the Lord Jesus says to you, John 14, I will come again to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. It was the rich young ruler who asked. He said, good master, what good thing must I do that I might have eternal life? Well, the Lord Jesus has answered in this parable, building your life upon the rock. What good thing must you do to have eternal life? To be sure that you are not swept into a lost eternity, but rather will be in heaven with the Lord for all future time? And the answer, of course, is that the Lord Jesus is the only giver of eternal life. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, that's the gospel tonight. And I challenge you, I ask you, as your pastor, as your friend, on what are you building your life? I've talked to you about the concrete foundation. You need a solid, immovable, lasting, enduring Savior. If you don't have a Savior, you're lost. And while you may be building your life and you might say, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm doing okay, I've got some money in the bank, I've got a doctor, I can deal with these issues. No, there's coming a flood, there's coming a whole series of floods that will just sweep you away into eternity. Whoever has resisted death and won, whoever has resisted the devil and won, whoever will stand on the judgment day without a Savior and still enter heaven, can't be done. And so let this wonderful, wonderful parable speak to your heart tonight. And as you go out this door and as you go home, I want you to be sure that you're building on the solid rock. It's important. It's imperative. You need to be saved. You need to be sure. You need to be certain. And if I can help you in that determination and that calling on the Lord, I'll be pleased to help you in any way I can. But I trust tonight that the Lord will speak to your heart and lead you to that wise position of building on Christ.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak, and I hope that that message has spoken to your heart and that you're ready. Ready for eternity, ready for heaven, ready for glory, based upon the very power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross, shed his blood, rose again from the dead, triumphing over the grave to give you that wonderful gift of eternal life. I trust that today the Lord has spoken to your heart, and if I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call here. I'll be delighted to talk with you one-to-one as a pastor and hopefully be of some help and comfort and counsel to you. Or go to our website and you can email or be in touch with us. There are various articles there as well. I'd also like to send you this little booklet. It's called Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God. Christ's love for sinners is in view here. In Luke 15, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd who went after one lost sheep until he found it. Then he laid it upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and called his friends to rejoice with him, because he had found the sheep which was lost. And oh, that you would allow him to carry you upon his shoulders today. He would rejoice, and he would call upon the angels to rejoice with him. This little booklet outlines the love of Christ, and it gives many examples of men, women in the Bible who came through faith to know the power of sins forgiven and the grace and love of the Savior within their hearts. I'd like to send you this booklet. It's 32 pages. It's very simple, very basic, but it will be a great blessing to your own heart. And I trust that the Lord will indeed minister to you and use you in these days. Perhaps you have an opportunity to witness to others, to tell of the Savior. And I trust that you are in prayer and that you'll be in prayer for this ministry as we seek to continue here on the airwaves. And I do ask you to pray with us, pray for us, pray that the Lord's word will be with grace to many, many hearts. This is a great opportunity, a great door the Lord has opened for us, but yet there are adversaries. And we do pray that you'll stand alongside us, that you'll go to our website and see there how you may be a helper with us in prayer and giving, and just to let us know that you're listening in. And if you are a recent listener to Let the Bible Speak, we'd love to hear from you. And we trust the Lord will encourage your heart and bless you richly. If we can be of any personal help to you, now we're turning to the announcements for today. And please join us again tomorrow when we Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we Let the Bible Speak.